twisted a little bit. You see, Adam did not fall down dead at the point of when he partook of the fruit. So a little bit of truth there, but yet he died physically. And as a result of that sin, he's going to die spiritually and physically soon. Yes, so let's look also what Satan said. Satan says, for God doth know. There's something he's not sharing with you. In other words, God's not telling you everything. He's holding back on you. It's not fair. He's holding back. And here's another thing Satan said. Your eyes will be opened. And what he really meant was, you can't see everything now. But you do this, oh, you'll be able to see much better then. Oh, it will be great. And then he said, you will be like God. In other words, you don't have all your potential yet, but soon you'll have that power if you just partake of that fruit. And then the next thing Satan said was, knowing good and evil. You don't know the difference between what's good and what's evil yet, but soon you will. And here you have it. You did not know everything yet, but soon you will. So this is what was taking place, and it's happening to us today. Look at this. Number one, the lust of the flesh. Satan's coming along and putting that little, you know, as an example, the school went fishing. And you know, in order to catch a fish, you have to dabble that bait in front of them, kind of bounce it up and down and make it look tasty and look really good. And so there's the lust of the flesh. Oh, I need that. I should have that. That should be mine. And then next of all, the lust of the eyes. The lust of the eyes. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes. And then last of all, the pride of life. Wow. Did you know you'll be like God? If you partake of that fruit, you don't have all your potential yet, but soon you will. And that's how Satan tempts us even today. That's what Satan put before Adam and Eve. He made it look like, hey, you need that. You deserve that. You know, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. And it looks good for food and something that really looks tasty. And I want that, the pride of my life and the pride that was bestowed there. And Satan just loves to dangle those things in front of us even today. You know, the Word of God says, love not the world, the neither the things are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And that's what Satan comes along, and he tempted Eve to partake of the fruit that God told him not to. He came along and he questioned God's authority, questioned God's purpose for doing that, saying, hey, that's not fair. God's not fair. He's holding out on you. Think about what you can become. You can become as a God. And you know, that is a sin that the world is promoting even today. There's people in the world today say, oh, you can become a God. You can become the God of your own world. You can do things yourself. And that's the very same lie that God told Adam and Eve, or Satan, excuse me, Satan told Adam and Eve so long ago. Next, B, the curse in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 14. Genesis 3:14. And who would like to read that? All right, over here, Roger has it, Kevin. Yep, go ahead and read.
Because it says 14.
14 and 15. Oh, no, let's just do verses 14 and 15.
Okay. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel.
That was the curse that God gave to Lucifer, to Satan, that due to the fact that he tempted man into sinning, the Bible shares with us that there's going to be war, enmity between Satan and the seed of the woman, who is Mary, the Lord Jesus Christ, the seed of Israel, who would come and save the world from their sin. It's a picture, or it's a prophecy foretold that Jesus Christ was going to come, and that he was going to give Satan a blow to the head, but he was going to give the Lord Jesus Christ a blow to the heel. And his death on the cross was that blow to the heel. So here's the picture. Remember the story all the way from verse 6 to 14. God comes down and Eve, Adam and Eve were hiding. Remember that? They were hiding. They put leaves about their bodies. And they were hiding. They were afraid. They were embarrassed. And so God comes down and God says to Adam, what did you do? Did you partake of that fruit? And you know what Adam did? He blamed Eve. Remember that? He said, it's her fault. She's the one. So God goes to Eve. Remember that? So God goes to Eve and says, Eve, why did you do this? Why did you partake of the fruit that I told you not to? And you know who she blamed? She blamed Lucifer. She blamed Satan. She blamed the serpent. Remember that? And so God comes before the serpent and he accuses him. And you know something? That serpent did not have a leg to stand on. Nobody else to blame. It ended there. And there Satan was. And so we have number one, the serpent. And he was cursed. Remember? He was accursed above all the cattle and beasts. And upon thy belly shalt thou go. And let her see, dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. So that was the curse to Satan and to the serpent that tricked and beguiled Adam and Eve to partake of the fruit that God told them not to. So he was not a leg to stand on. He was cursed above all the cattle. Upon his belly thou shalt go. They believed that possibly serpents back then had legs. But after the fall, they lost them, and the serpents no longer have legs. We don't know how true that is. We just assume that that's probably what happened. And then we have, yes, Jane? Yes. Oh, yes. Yep. Yep. Oh, yeah. And some have made the statement, I'm not afraid of snakes as long as I can see them. Problem is you don't see them. You can step on them and get bitten. Okay, then we have enmity between thee and the woman. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That is prophecy foretold that the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, would be crucified on the cross. He would die for the sins of the world. And that was Satan's blow to the Savior's heel. But Satan had a head blow, which means that he's going to die. A head wound is fatal. And so we know that, yes, Satan is going to fall. His end is going to be destructive. He is going to spend eternity separated from God in a place called hell. And that is so victorious. We're going to see him fall. We're going to see him kicked down out of heaven and down to earth. And then finally into the lake of fire where he will spend eternity. Three counts and he's down. And then Genesis 3:16, the woman. Genesis 3:16, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and thy desire shall be to thy husband. Genesis 3, verse 16, and unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 16. So the serpent has a head blow, but Christ had a heel blow, not fatal. And then the woman, because she was tempted, and she partook of the fruit that God told her not to. She's going to multiply thy sorrow in conception and thy desire to thy husband to rule over you. All right, any questions? Okay, three, how about the man? His curse, letter A, is cursed is the ground for thy sake, and in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, and unto dust shalt thou return. So Genesis 3, verse 17. Who would like to read those for us? Genesis chapter 3, verse 17 to verse 19.
Yes, sir. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, Cursed is the ground for thy sake, in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return.
Yes, so to Adam, the ground is cursed. There's going to be weeds now. Weeds that come up and choke the harvest and choke our crops that we plant is going to choke it down, and it's going to be hard. You got to work hard on it. It's amazing how quickly weeds come up and overtake the fruit, tomatoes and green peppers and corn and all those things. You constantly have to be out there and till the ground to get rid of the weeds, because the weeds seem to grow up so much faster than the corn does, or the fruit, or whatever it might be. And that's because of the curse. Because Adam chose to partake of the fruit that God told him not to, not only was the ground cursed, but also the fact that thou shalt return. Dust unto dust shalt thou return. In other words, because of sin, we're going to die. We're going to die, all because of sin. And the choice that Adam made. Adam chose to partake of the fruit that God told him not to, and all men have become sinners, lost, condemned, and headed for hell. And then, of course, the woman, her curse is that she is going to be under her husband, but also cursed for a childbirth and anguish and pain in giving forth birth. And so as you look at that, though, we also know that, yes, the husband is the head of the home, but that doesn't mean that our wife is a slave or a servant. She is to be a helpmate, a helpmate. She's our helpmate and encourager. And I love saying that God did not take a bone from Adam's head to create Eve in order for her to rule over the man. And he did not take a bone from Adam's feet for him to stomp on and to rule over the woman. But instead, he took a bone from Adam's side to be a helpmate and to be a helper. And I should hear every woman here tonight say amen. Yes, to be a helpmate. A helpmate, not property, not to own, but to be a helpmate. And, you know, many ladies say, you know, I'm glad my husband has that responsibility, because when he stands before God, God's going to be talking to him and not me. So, any questions? Yes.
It's going to sound a little funny, but it's actually a question. So with B, it says, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I remember when I was working construction, I always took sandwiches with me. And I'm kind of, is that, you know, kind of yeah, like you're toiling all this and, you know, you're hungry and you want something good to eat, but all you have is
bread.
I
see. Well, not really. No, I understand the question. But what it's really saying is that it's going to be hard labor in producing bread, bread. In other words, crops. As you're working with crops, you constantly have to pull the weeds. So it's hard work. It's hard labor, not just in crops, but in everything. Everything. It's hard labor, hard work in order to provide for the needs of our family. And it's all because of the curse. That's right. Yep. You don't work, you don't eat. That's right. Yep. Yes, Jane? Yep, you have to work harder. Yeah. Right. Yeah. A lot of work. Takes work. You got to stick to it and work hard. Yep. All right. No. No, that was a very good question. That's right. And that got it. That got the answer. Yes, definitely. All right. Next, C. The consequences. Genesis 3:21. And in Genesis 3:21, the Word of God says this. Anybody like to read that?
Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them.
So because they recognized that they were naked and they needed clothes, God then provided skins. In other words, the very first sacrifice for sin that was made. And Adam and Eve, for the first time, saw death. Saw what their sin produced, all because of sin. So the Lord God made coats of skin. Number two, clothed both Adam and Eve because of their sin. Romans 5:12. Anybody able to read or to quote Romans 5:12? What was that? Oh, Romans 5:12. Wherefore? That's right. Yep. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Ah, but that was great. Yes, you betcha. So Romans 5:12, first Adam gave death. So when you look at that verse, and I referred to this verse, especially on creation versus evolution, dealing with the gap theory as well as the day-age theory, saying that over millions and billions of years, the dinosaurs lived. But the Bible shares with us, Romans 5:12, wherefore is by one man sin. So Adam, when Adam sinned against God, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so there was no death until Adam sinned. When he sinned against God, death came into the world. Because of his sin, we have death, disease, anguish, pain, and all because of sin. All because Adam made that choice. And so when people say, well, why did God do that, and blames God for everything that takes place, like the stabbing or the shooting, we think, well, why did God do that? God didn't do that. We made the choice. We chose sin. We chose death. We chose anguish. It was our choice. God didn't do anything. We made the choice. We chose to go against God's law according to his word, and because of our sin, the choice that we made, all men have become sinners, and as a result of that, death, disease, anguish, and pain came into the world. And so there was no death until Adam and Eve partake of the fruit that God told them. And so therefore, there were no dinosaurs that lived millions and billions of years, because if they did, they all would have died. And God's word says that there was no death before Adam chose and made that decision. So I believe 6,000 years ago, God created Adam and Eve. The very same day he created dinosaurs, and dinosaurs lived amongst men. I mean, even the Flintstones have got this one right. And so when Adam and Eve chose and sinned against God, that's when sin came into the world. So first Adam gave death, but the last Adam, he brought life. Romans chapter 5, and specifically, well, let's look at Romans 5. Verse 21. Romans chapter 5. Whoops. I think verse 21, but specifically in 1 Corinthians. Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 21. Here it is. Verse 21 says, that as sin hath reigned unto death. So sin has reigned unto death, and that's what Adam brought. Adam brought death. Even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So the first Adam brought death, but the second Adam, the last Adam, brought life. And that life was from the cross of Calvary, that we might spend eternity with him. So Adam brought death, but the last Adam, Christ, brought life. And then all descendants of Adam. We're all descendants, one blood, all descendants of Adam. So because Adam sinned and the last Adam, Christ, the last Adam died for the sins of Adam, and we're all descendants of Adam. And we looked at that before with creation versus evolution in Acts 17:26. Who's got that one? Somebody have that one? Roger does.
And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation.
Very good. All of one blood. So Christ came and he died for the sins of the world, and he died for the sins of Adam. So because Christ came and died for the sins of Adam, that all those in Adam can find life through Christ. All one blood. Christ died for each and every one of us. So going through all this, we know that when Adam and Eve partook of the fruit, and there was a curse to that. Eve had a curse. Man had a curse that we're going to work to the sweat of our brow. And because of that curse, death, disease, anguish, and pain came into the world through Adam. And then through Christ came life in Romans 5:21 and 1 Corinthians 15. And because we're all descendants of Adam, we have a choice to make. Are we going to choose to accept what Christ did on the cross? Are we going to reject it? Are we going to continue in the fact that we're lost, condemned, and headed for hell? If we choose to reject him, we're going to spend eternity separated from God in hell forever and ever. But Christ has given us a promise, and that promise is life, eternal life through his name. So the whole purpose of this is to say that God's not the one who stands up in heaven and says, well, who can I torture today? We made the choice. We chose sin. We chose death. And now we have another choice. Are we going to accept the hope that Christ has given? Eternal life through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, point number two. Illustrations from Scripture. We're going to look at some illustrations. Maybe we'll go through one and then we'll save the rest for, I guess not next Sunday night, but Mother's Day. Mother's Day, Sunday night on Mother's Day. Letter A, we're going to look at Noah. Noah walked with God. And this is just so interesting as you look at Noah and how Noah chose that even through a world of sin and anguish, Noah chose to walk with God, to walk with him and to trust him in all that he did. And Noah was a man that lived during a day when people denied the things of God. They denied it, lived in a world that was, in fact, when you look in Noah or in Genesis chapter 6, yep. Genesis chapter 6. The word of God tells us that this world. Let's see here. Here we go. Let's look at verse 7. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. The world was full of sin and corruption. In fact, verse 12, when God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come up before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And it was all because of sin in a world that denied God, looked the opposite direction, not interested in living for God. Noah, even in the midst of all this, walked with God. He knew that he could trust the Lord and rely upon him. So let's go ahead and close off, and we'll look at the rest a couple Sundays from now. But this is certainly a good start to show the fact that God's not the one. God's not the one to blame. He's not the one to point our finger to. It should be us. We made the choice. Our choice was sin and death and disease, and all we can do is trust the Lord, rely upon him, and accept what God's word has to say. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for today, this opportunity to study your word. We look forward to the rest of this a couple of Sundays from now. We pray for next Sunday as Pastor Sakaros is going to come, get a chance to see him again, help him as he moves, and get a chance to hear him preach on Sunday morning. I just pray that certainly you will bless us this week as we look forward to a great week to serve you and to live for you and to realize that you are in control and that we can rely upon you. Even though all the sorrowing and all the difficult times that we see in the world around us, help us to walk with you just like Noah did so long ago. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, you are dismissed. Have a wonderful week. Lord bless you as you look forward to this week ahead. Yeah.